want to welcome to the studio West Australian author David Wish Wilson, who has a new book at the moment called Zero at the Bone, and it is really, really good. And it is all about Perth and Western Australia, and it is set in 1979. There's something strangely evocative about that. Well, I was a 16-year-old at the time. Maybe that's why everything that David has written in this book so far has really, really grabbed me. David, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me in, Jeff.
It's nice to have you here. Just as an aside, the name Wish Wilson will mean something to some of our listeners because your brother has taken the Senate seat of Bob Brown.
That's right, yeah. He's up for election in a few weeks, so the poor fellow's working very hard. But, so he's going to be... he's a Tasmanian senator at the moment for the Greens.
Yeah. Challenging times to say, hello, I'm the man replacing Bob Brown.
Yeah, they're very, very big shoes to fill, but he seems to be getting a lot of runs on the board. He seems to be doing quite well from what I can gather.
Hey, the other day, I read this little article in the Guardian under the headline, Crime Writers Find Fertile Ground in the Red Dirt of Western Australia. Is it true?
Yeah, it's, I think the general thesis of that article was that for the first time there's a kind of a fair bit of crime fiction coming out of Western Australia, and according to the writer of the article, it's some of the best crime fiction in Australia, and I think that's quite true. I mean, the article starts with talking about Dave Warner's book City of Light, which came out in '95, I think.
Yes.
Won a Premier's Book Award, but prior to that, there wasn't a lot of crime fiction being written in Perth. And suddenly in the last 3 or 4 years, particularly this year, I think four of us have had crime novels come out.
What do you put it down to?
I think on the one hand, it's just good fortune, people working at the same time. But also I think from over east, there's a new interest in Western Australia that probably wasn't there before. And it's got a lot to do with the mining boom, the sense that there's a fair bit going on over here. And of course, wherever there's a boom, there's always kind of there's always greed. Wherever there's greed, there are, you know, kind of character flaws or human flaws. And wherever you have a combination of the two, you have crime writers typing away in the background trying to make the most of it.
You would always assume, though, there are rich pickings. I wonder too, if you're a local author, if you sit down and write a story, that you have to have a certain amount of bravery to say, do you know what, I'm not going to set it in New York, or I'm not going to set it in Sydney. I'm going to set it here, and I'm going to tell a story about the people I know and the places I know and the descriptions I have of them. Does it take a little bit of, you know, a bit of determination to say, well, that is what I'm going to do, and I hope that it plays well elsewhere?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, part of my motivation for writing the last book, Line of Sight, and also this one, was kind of frustration, I suppose, that, you know, in a city with a population approaching 2 million, there's very little fiction set in Perth, full stop, and very little, if not, or very little set in that particular period. And for a crime writer, that's a very kind of interesting transitional period. It's often said that, you know, it was the 70s, the early 80s, that's when Perth moved from being a big country town to a small city. And again, for a crime writer, it was a time when policing culture was still quite old school. You had organised crime moving away from the gaming and vice economies into the drug economy, and you had a lot of bank robberies. You had some organised crime figures going to legitimate business but still using some of their old kind of thuggish tactics. So it's very rich material for a crime writer.
Yeah, and yeah. What strikes me too, Dave, and we'll talk about Zero at the Bone in just a moment, is the you write pieces of fiction based on historical truths, and your last book, you know, delved very prominently into the death of Shirley Finn.
Yep.
How do you do it? Is that a mask for you to explore the reality of what happened to these people in our past?
Yeah, I mean, it's crime fiction. So on the one hand, and it's being released around Australia and New Zealand. So on that one hand, it's designed to be an entertainment. It's designed to be a good read. Obviously, someone picking up the book in Queensland doesn't really care too much about whether something's factual or not. They just want a good read. So there's that aspect of it. But the other side of it is, yeah, I hope it does reflect something of the period, because it was quite an interesting period. There's a nice quote from American writer Marianne Moore that I've always liked, and she said, to paraphrase, poetry is the art of creating imaginary gardens using real toads. Well, there are a lot of real toads that you could draw on from the period, from the policing and political culture. But it is an imaginary garden. It is a work of fiction. So I'm kind of straddling both kinds of things. On one hand, it's entertainment, but on the one hand, I do want it to reflect something, because I think that's a particular strength of crime fiction.
Yeah.
It can look at our society from different different perspectives.
My guest is David Wish Wilson. We're talking about the fact that perhaps long overdue, but there is a greater willingness for crime writers and writers broadly to tell stories of this place. Zero at the Bone, you take us back to 1979, and I love that anyway, because that was the year, wasn't it, that we were the state of excitement. The Queen came a-visiting, 150th anniversary. Rolf was singing I Want to Go Back to WA, and it was a very colourful time to be here.
It was a very colourful time, yeah. There was a lot going on. I could certainly remember it from my own childhood. You know, I had the little tight swan T-shirt on and what have you. But also there was a lot of, you know, there was a lot of things going on. There were kind of deeper kind of currents, which I suppose I'm aiming to explore here. Yeah, so there was all the partying, the frivolity. But one of the other things that attracted me to this particular year and this particular period was something that West Australian writer Dorothy Hewitt wrote, and she said that, you know, Perth has this culture of leisure and we've got beautiful beaches and a beautiful climate. And I kind of see that, unlike Scandinavian crime fiction where it's got, you know, the brooding light and all of that kind of thing, we've got this beautiful Mediterranean light, clarity, the streets are reasonably clean. So on the one surface, it's a beautiful kind of calm place of leisure and recreation. But on the other side, and this is where, you know, it's rich material for a crime fiction, Dorothy Hewitt said that this kind of air of innocence is actually the perfect field for corruption. And, you know, it's a Los Angeles kind of noirish light. And that goes back to the old crime fiction cliche, you know, the brighter the light, the deeper the shadow. So I'm trying to contrasting the light and the darkness at the same time.
So tell me about Frank Swan, who is a former detective, but he's on the outside these days. Tell us the story about Zero at the Bone.
Well, yeah, I've grown to like Frank Swan quite a lot, which is just as well. Strange enough, we share the same house in South Fremantle. I'm inhabiting a house with a fictional character. You know, he's got three kids, I've got three kids. We both live in a kind of semi-busted up fibro shack and it's, you know, a little bit dilapidated. But he's part of the reason I wrote this second book, and hopefully there'll be a third as well later, is that when I was doing all the research for Line of Sight, like, as you say, about the murder of Shirley Finn, there were so many stories that I couldn't fit into that book. I wanted to revisit. So he's outside the police force now. He's a very low-rent private investigator. He's hired to look into the somewhat suspicious suicide of a geologist.
Yeah.
And that leads him towards
this. It's a very dramatic start to your book, too.
Very dramatic start, yeah. So he's drawn into this kind of circle. I've got a bunch of organised crime figures and a couple of bent coppers, and they're making their first stab at legitimate business. You know, they want to start up a gold mining concern. But because they kind of have a criminal background, their kind of methods of running a business are a little bit dodgy, particularly their methods of dispute resolution. So Frank Swan is drawn into kind of looking at them, and he's basically a good man. I mean, one of the other things that I always like to do in my book is put kind of good people in extreme situations and see what they do.
Yeah.
It's kind of the existential dilemma of a crime fiction protagonist. So Frank Swan's basically a good man. He's a family man. He's a very loyal friend. But he finds himself, like all good crime fiction protagonists, in some quite difficult situations. And then he has to choose between being loyal or being disloyal, being honest or being dishonest. And that essentially leads the plot towards its conclusion.
Unfortunately, it's become a little bit of a catchphrase now when we talk about the underbelly of a city. But do you think Perth in the 1970s and early 1980s, and you talk about bank robberies, I mean, I think we remember as kids, you could read the Daily News for a period of time and there would be a period on consecutive afternoons where another suburban bank had been robbed. Now, that doesn't happen now.
No,
imagine if that world existed now. But I remember very clearly that there were these behaviours going on, potentially very, very violent, and the rest of us just went about our lives going, oh, look at that.
Yeah, Perth's always been that kind of place. Like I say, most of us drift around in our lives. We go to the beach, we go to the footy, and all of that kind of thing. And that's all great. But Perth has always been, and it's my reading of it, Perth's always been on another level, quite a tough town. There's always been a fairly strong criminal fraternity, and not in the late 1970s, early 80s, were the kind of glory years for bank robbers because security wasn't what it is now. There's a lot of money to be made. I ended up meeting quite a few bank robbers when I was a teacher at Casuarina Prison, and they're quite a, I mean, despite the tactics they use, the strategies they use in the robberies, quite a, you know, good, a lot of them are quite good storytellers. So
colourful characters, colourful, I think they're referred to.
That's right.
Last week, Brett Christian was sitting in that chair talking about his book, Presumed Guilty, and no fiction there, stories of police that did not do their job and juries that sealed the deal. Do you think it's true that if we were to look dispassionately at the history of this place, we would see levels of policing integrity that go up and down like roller coasters?
I think so. I think that's probably true of any city. Perth's quite unusual in the sense that there's always been I think it's a good thing, there's always been quite a pragmatic approach towards the prohibition economies of, say, prostitution and gaming. I noticed Brian Burke in the paper last week was saying that whenever he wanted to close down the Northbridge casinos, he copped a bit of stick because when the police were sent round there, they would just emerge with brown paper bags. And, of course, that had been going on for a long time with SP bookies and coppers asked to turn a blind eye. So it started off, you know, being quite pragmatic. You set up certain people in business, you know, you can trust them to run things smoothly. But what we saw in the 70s was, of course, the drug market enter the picture, and so that has a slightly darker strain. So what originally started out as police corruption and so-called victimless crimes to do with prostitution and gambling ended up, you know, looking a little bit more dangerous, and we saw that somewhat with the murder of Shirley Finn as well. And also in the early 80s, I think some members of the drug squad were fired for being on the take and all that kind of thing. That has always been there. So,
and do you think as a backdrop of that is that brilliant light, that casual laid-back lifestyle enables people to do things where no one else is looking and no one else cares?
I think it's got a lot to do with that, yeah. So, again, it's a bit of a crime fiction truism, but, you know, in a place like Perth with our culture of leisure and laid-back, easy-going kind of people, the darker kind of deeds are actually usually more hidden in plain sight than they are. It's very easy to just not notice it or not care alternatively.
Well, I love the fact that you're bringing it to our attention. And it's a really, you know, I'm not very far into it, but it's a really good read, and I think people will love to pick up a novel. And it's not a Tim Winton novel, but it is a very familiar novel. The places, the people, the smells, the trees, the processes. It's really good. David, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.
David Wish-Wilson, the book is Zero at the Bone, and really good to hear that there are a range of West Australian crime writers who are making their names known and felt right across the country and beyond that. Have a look at that one.